You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 2, Episode 5, Reptile Boy. When Buffy and Cordelia attend a frat party, they find themselves being offered up to a reptile-like creature as human sacrifices. My name is Stephanie.
I am Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Christopher, but you can call me Chris.
Hello.
Hello, Chris.
Chris is back. We let him back.
Thank you.
Because we like him. And we think he's funny.
I promised to do less Doctor Who talk this time.
That was entirely my fault. But why would you talk Doctor Who, Chris?
In honor of the Canadians, I promise to refer to him only as Dr. Key. I'm one of them sexy bastards. What brings you Doctor Who, the 11th Hour podcast? The other sexy bastard being Joe, the sexy bastard. That's his surname. It doesn't look good on forms.
I thought you were the sexy one and he was the one with a massive brain.
Yes, okay, that works for me.
I tried having a conversation with him about consciousness, and it hurt my brain.
No.
My brain is strained. He was very nice about it, too. I don't want to hurt your brain or confuse you.
He's a very bright individual.
Yeah.
Bastard.
We hate Sim. Not at all, actually.
Now, we'll have Joe on sometime.
Yes, we will.
I recommend that.
So all day today on Twitter, I kept saying...
He too can hurt your brain.
All day on Twitter today, I was like, where's the lizard boy? I've been promised the lizard boy. I'm 12 minutes in. Where's the lizard boy? And then I realized, oh, wait, it's reptile boy. Because when this thing came out of the hole, I was like, wait a second. That looks more like a snake, not a lizard. And I paused it and I went and checked the episode title and I was like, I'm an idiot. It is Reptile Boy.
Reptile Boy is not a good title for this episode.
Well, we do know where they pick up the title.
Mm.
They use the podcast method of titling episodes where they take something someone says. Because Buffy gives him attitude and says, what was it?
I don't know, but she calls him Reptile Boy.
Yeah, she calls him Reptile Boy to his face.
Like, that's take that, Reptile Boy.
Yes.
which is why I chose to write down, Buffy says the title wins the prize.
Yes. The prize being breaking free.
Oh, I see. I thought the prize was going to be the prize from Highlander.
Oh, no.
Silence. Silence.
Buffy's wearing giraffe pants. Oh,
yeah. Going straight to points, are you?
You know, I saw that happening and it didn't even register with me, possibly because Rachel and I were firmly into Bra Watch. Which
How could you not be?
Fine episode for Bra Watching. Everyone's in
many, many cases of Bra Watch, commencing with the opening scene.
Yeah.
Made me think again of Criminal Minds. Definitely got a Criminal Minds vibe out of it. And it's this poor girl running down, and I do believe when she runs down the hill there is no bra to be watched. And then later on in another shot there is a bra to be watched.
That's a hell of an exit she did though, straight through a plate glass window wearing a 90.
A la Helen Hunt in the after school special when she was on PCP.
Oh.
it all comes full circle. Someone was on PCP somewhere.
What gangs on PCP.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, from the other week, it is the Terminator you were thinking of.
Thank you, not Terminator 2.
Right. It's, yes,
Judgment
it's Paul Winfield saying he was probably on PCP, mm-hmm. punched, broke every bone in his hand, wouldn't feel it for hours.
There you go.
Do we want to do feedback?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if we have any... feedback directed at Reptile Boy, which doesn't surprise me.
But why? Should I get into it right now?
I think you just spoiled us on your rating there, Illyria.
Not necessarily.
The sort of area you'll be going for,
no,
I think.
Not necessarily. Which one do we want to read?
We can listen to Kevin Batchelder's voicemail.
Yeah.
Hey, Gax, and probably another special guest. This is Kevin Batchelder calling in. Just wanted to say hello. Let you folks know how much I've been really enjoying listening to all your fun podcasts. And to thank you again for letting me join you for a couple of eps there at the end of Season 1, early Season 2. Had a ton of fun doing that. I think I'll be coming back to join you again, but probably not till Season 3.
Ooh.
Much like a nice restaurant, you folks, boy, the reservations were tough getting a spot. So it's great to see so much of the Buffy community jumping in to have fun with you.
That's awesome.
It's really great to see the things just growing for you guys, because it is really a lot of fun getting your feedback. It's been really cool listening to, especially Kim with her analysis from her, you know, background with Lost, always trying to find the meaning of things. Remember, this, you know, show is 10, 12 years old, so yes, there are some long-term items there, but it's not crazy over the top like Lost, so don't drive yourself too much crazy doing that. But it's also great and a lot of fun with the pregnant pauses, as you're calling them, once you guys start asking questions of Steph and the other experienced folks that we all know we can't answer. I know I, and I'm sure Steph and even Kim a couple episodes ago, were biting their tongues because we can't tell you anything. So maybe insert some cricket sounds or something else there, a signature sound to go with it, because I'm sure it's going to continue as you keep asking questions.
Crickets would be great.
Hey, I mentioned to you when I was on the Prophecy Girl show that was the first of three episodes that really turned me from a casual fan into an over-the-top one. The second of those three will be coming up in Season 2. I won't give away when, but I'll drop you a voicemail after it happens with some thoughts, because I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun to talk about that one.
Thanks again
for doing the shows. I know it's a big time commitment, being a podcaster myself. You folks are sticking with it, but it's a lot of fun for us listening. So you take care, all.
Thanks, Kevin. Kevin's so nice. We get such nice feedback from people. It really is. It's really great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
It's worth it when you hear stuff like that.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also worth it to have people like kind of come over. It's like we're entertaining having Chris over these two weeks and stuff.
The places are disappearing quite massively though. because of my immense spike hard on, I was booked on for school hard, but someone else really wanted to do it, so I rolled on over like a piggly wiggly bitch. By which I mean I don't mind what episode I'm on as long as I'm on, but if I can book conversations with dead people now, then I'd be very happy.
Okay, I'm putting you down.
Fuck yeah. See, some Season 7 action for you.
We'll be seeing you in a few years, Chris, but oh man, it's really
how far ahead are we booked? Are we booked all Season 2?
Yep.
Oh yes.
Really?
A lot of Season 3 is booked up, some of Season 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just really glad I have a regular table.
Yes. Yes.
We're the VIPs.
Mm-hmm. The chef's table.
Okay. So this girl's running away from these hooded guys. And apparently the frat house is just a hop, skip, and a jump off of a conveniently placed tree limb from the graveyard. And I would just like to say that whoever's is the child of Dad is a horrible, horrible child who did not even bother to put their parents' name on their tombstone.
Tombstone just says Dad.
Now, the one next one just says Mother with something else.
Has the cemetery appeared this season yet? Is this the first time?
Earlier cemetery. The very first episode, there was some cemetery action.
Oh, right, okay. Mm-hmm. Basically, in Season 1, they filmed in actual graveyards, but they built a standing outdoor graveyard set, which remains with the show.
Okay.
This point on. So I think it's the only show that had its own graveyard. The closest I can remember is the most similar thing is the X-Files had occasional tombstones they would chuck about. One that said Soames from the pilot episode of a character called Ray Soames, his grave. And every so often you'll see the Soames tombstone in various graveyards throughout the entire 9-year run of the X-Files.
Yeah, and so she gets caught by guy with the hair. What was his name?
The one with Tom. The
hair. No, Tom was Anderson? The nicer guy.
Richard.
Oh, no, no.
Richard.
Richard Dull Wasp.
What?
Was that I'm just trying, to think of a generic preppy name for some frat.
And he was quite a dull wasp.
Yeah. I believe I've actually lifted that from an episode of The Critic. Rich Dull Wasp.
And so, I don't know, it really struck me as odd. And then the party's just getting started in that very kind of menacing look. Very much a la Helen Hunt jumping out of the window in that after-school special. And then we're basically thrown into Buffy wanting a... No, she was talking to Willow about having angel dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which immediately...
Intense angel dreams.
Which immediately made me laugh. What did he do? Stuff.
The sex day dreams.
And I'm like, oh, that 16.
That so yeah. doesn't work in my accent. Sex A. It doesn't work.
No, I suppose not. And then
Buffy and Angel later on have a conversation. And I think that Angel is kind of getting mixed signals from Buffy. I don't think
kind
he
of?
Really knows.
Sorry.
the line, every time you kiss me, I want to die.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Is pretty darn confusing. Uh-huh. Right after she kind of indicates that she wants to date you. I would be confused by such things.
Did anyone else find the Angel Buffy scenes very laughable? And
you mean back to beginning of season one laughable?
Super awkward. Mm. It was...
I didn't find it as bad as season one.
Just remind one of my points I wrote down was, ooh, vampire sex times. Always so doomy.
Always.
I can't think of any sort of vampire romance where people just have a great time.
No.
Really?
Yep. Shagging a vampire. It's great. It's so like, oh God, he's from another world and he doesn't understand me. And True Blood and Ultraviolet's got a bit of it as well.
But they always have to reinforce how old Angel is and how young Buffy is.
He was so patronizing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, you're 16. You don't want what you want. And throughout the entire episode, men were being patronizing to Buffy and condescending.
Mm.
Like when she shows up at the party and Richard Dullwasp was like, oh, I remember being 16. You don't know what you want. Or, no, I wasn't very much interested in grown-up things either.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Shut up, idiot.
Yeah.
People like that annoy me greatly. Greatly, greatly, yes. Greatly. There's no need to be condescending to the young. At all. And it's just unfair. I mean, she was already having a bad time. You know, she's kind of cheating on her almost not really vampire boyfriend. Are you going to make her feel bad?
She lied to Giles.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. But what Buffy and Angel are doing, is it considered dating?
No.
But they refer to each other as dating.
No, because they never went out on a date. There's sexual tension
say,
there.
Didn't she say I'm quasi dating
no,
a vampire?
I'm involved, is what she said.
Oh
no.
Oh,
that's
weird.
Well, she made it. It sounded like to me what she was saying was she wanted to date him, but he won't date her.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing someone? Someone's not seeing me, I believe.
Correct.
So points. Apparently, walking around in a white top with your black bra showing through was A-okay in 1997.
Rachel's comment on this was that either it's a black bra under a white top, or her tits are really bruised after a tough fight. Those are not my words, but the words of my wife, Rachel.
Whom we immediately adore.
Yes.
One of my points is that Xander is an honorary girl.
I love that he can braid hair so well. That's amazing.
It's a skill not many of us possess.
They were ahead of the curve on Bollywood there as well.
Very much.
Making a trend. That thing he did with her feet was personal.
Yeah.
How about how Xander makes the ugliest woman ever?
Oh my god.
But
bra watch indeed.
He's got a nice faux rack there.
isn't he slightly hairy chest in this one? But I recall other times seeing his chest where he's as smooth as an otter.
Otters have hair, so I don't know what you're
referring to. I know, but it's very smooth looking. Okay, dolphin. Let's go with dolphin.
Xander is not a ninja. As evidenced by his entrance into the party.
Crunk. Yep, he does immediately grab some punch and get down.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
I've got to say, stop saying mystical convergence. It's getting irritating.
This is true. We
I
get
think
it.
Eventually,
we
the
understand.
Word Hellmouth will be enough for viewers, and they'll stop having to say, a Hellmouth, a center of mystical convergence. Yeah, we know. You've told us that already.
So is it a parenthesis, or... Or is it like followed by like preceded by a colon? You know what I mean?
It's like trademark Hellmouth, center of mystical convergence since 1992. A bit more top secret training directly in the library entrance where anyone could walk in or indeed see it through the windows.
Yes. You have these giant circle windows anybody could see.
How does Angel shave?
I don't think he has to.
Yeah, I just assumed it was kind of like a vampire healing deal.
Although his fingernails probably still grow, right?
Oh, this is interesting because I don't know if you do see vampires growing hair. I recall in the series you see different hair on vamp. No, because he has different styles in flashbacks, but never a beard. No, because I've been showing this to people and they've been wondering about what he can do, whether he could, all the talk of Buffy and Naughty Times, whether he could become whether Angel could become sexually aroused because of the lack of blood. But frankly, he does a lot of things he shouldn't be doing without a beating heart or, you know, blood circulation, like walking and talking.
Hold on a second. Let's backtrack a second. I understand the whole vampires don't have a breath thing, but their hearts don't beat.
No.
No, his doesn't.
And there's no blood circulating?
Nope.
No.
Well, then he's got to have a pump in there somewhere.
But he's all mystical shite. It doesn't matter. So
yeah.
I say if you accept that happens, then he could probably...
I know what you're getting at. It's erection of disbelief.
Correct.
That's what it is.
Sadly, vampires are one of those mystical things that don't make sense if you think about them. Like,
right.
When you talk about invisible characters and then you realize they wouldn't actually be able to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because people only could see because of things reflecting off of corneas in their eyes. And if those are invisible, then you can't see a damn thing.
Retinas, my friend, retinas.
Well, there you go. I don't know what I'm on about, but yes, you're correct.
Okay, why does Buffy want to die when she kisses Angel? Is it that she hates herself so much?
It's just teen angst.
She wants to die so she can be with him.
That's what I was thinking.
You think so?
Oh, good work.
I'm thinking.
I just thought she was being a melodramatic 16-year-old.
That's what I thought, too. But yeah. I like Kim's answer better now.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
There's so many layers when she says stuff like that.
Mm.
That's exactly what I thought when she said it. And I was like, oh, the irony. Mm. But... I think from this episode, the overlying theme is like, okay, Buffy always wants to be like a normal girl or a normal teenager. And then when she actually goes against everything that she's been taught, all shit breaks loose. And like, it just reinforces that she's never going to be normal. Ever.
Yeah,
this tends to be how they approach it. You'll have realized by now, right, that the series works allegorically. And so it does, basically, the allegory in this one seems to be, don't go to frat parties, they're full of tossers.
Yeah.
But
and orgies.
There are orgies.
And orgies,
Girls get roofied.
Yeah, totally. Mm-mm-mm. But, and there it does do some proper big teenage allegorizing later on. Yes, but one that keeps coming up is alcohol, and this one because it's the roofie thing. Mm-hmm. But I can think of three separate occasions where it's tackled alcohol, and like one drink has always been a terrible idea. One of them is like possibly my least favorite Buffy episode of all time, so I'm looking forward to that coming around.
Every time we see alcohol, we can expect that.
Steph, you know what
terrible's gonna happen.
You know what I'm talking about, Steph.
Yeah. The worst episode.
It's just so I don't deal much in Buffy fandom, so I don't know what are considered good episodes and bad episodes. But I imagine the one I'm talking about is pretty low down there. It's like the most ham-fisted bit of allegorical writing in the world.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice the anti-drunk driving poster in the background?
Yeah.
Not everyone who drives drunk dies, and it's some guy with scars on his face.
Mm-hmm. I noticed Spirit Week. Don't know what Spirit Week is, but it sounds great.
Yeah,
it's like Homecoming Week.
Yeah, we never had that in my upbringing.
Oh, yeah, Homecoming Week. You dress up. Did you have that, Gabby?
No, I don't think so.
I just don't understand Homecoming.
Homecoming is, it's the big game, like midway through the season, the football season.
Oh, that'll be why I don't understand it.
Oh, I mean, it's sports.
That's the game where everybody comes back and, you know, alumni come back. And at school, the students dress up like this year we had like Cops and Robbers Day.
I'm sorry, cops and robbers in the American South. You cannot pay me enough to come to school dressed as a robber. I'm not doing it. There are gun carrying laws and things down there. I would be frightened. frightened. Whose idea was that?
Looks like we got ourselves a robber.
Did you say rabbi?
Yes, that's exactly what I said.
All right.
Anti-Semitic. No, never mind. Let's move on.
Let's. So there was Spirit Week,
okay.
Which implies something.
You'll find this is the part of the portion of the series on which on every episode there is a prologue. Are you getting those on the DVDs? We got every episode so far starts with Tony Head going, in every generation there is a Slayer, one who does this and that the other.
Yeah, I get that.
It's getting a bit tedious now.
In my version.
I just went through it.
It entered my unconscious so much that I made a promo like that.
Yes. Kim, you were talking about fast-forwarding through opening titles because you don't like the song very much. I know you watched one like for the opening of season two, but I find the way they deal with the titles is very interesting because they will update them as the series goes along with new characters and, you know, slightly different clips. And they are, sometimes they can be a little story all of themselves if you're really nerdy and you're paying attention.
I can think of
two occasions in which watching the titles is a good idea. One of them you don't even realize why until much later.
Interesting.
There you go.
It's not like Battlestar Galactica where they basically spoil the episode.
No, that's the old Mission Impossible kind of titles, isn't it? When you put little clips of what's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go.
Good to know.
I read on Wikipedia that the ending that they wrote, they wanted the reptile boy or reptile man thing to eat one of the frat boys, but they couldn't do it with CGI.
Hmm.
I don't know if that meant it was like impossible or if they couldn't afford it.
I imagine actually at this 90s. Point some combination of the two.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I think they probably could have just about done it looking a bit ropey, but it would have been pricey.
Mm-hmm. And they wanted him to be a recurring character.
Ugh.
Really?
Who wanted him to be a recurring character?
The writers.
Really?
Well, Makeda or the frat boy. I really like Makeda. I think he's an awesome little bit of design. He's one of my favorite sort of one-off villains. Although you can sort of see where his skin ends and the prosthetics that makes the big sort of snake body start.
Yeah.
I still think it's a cool little idea.
That's all.
One of my notes is just generic rich tossers. They're so anonymous.
Yeah.
And they come, you know, might as well not have faces on those.
One of the guys is Jesse from Burn Notice.
Oh, crikey.
One of the guys is Tyrone from Third Watch.
I think that's the same person.
Is it? Really? Probably. I don't watch Burn Notice. So. I love when Cordelia is so transparent.
Would you believe that? By the way, that's one of my quotes. I've written it down.
I laughed out loud when I heard her laugh the first time. It was so ridiculous. I thought it was so great.
So, are you on record, Kim, saying that you prefer her fake laughter over her screaming?
Oh, God, yes. I wrote that one of my points at the end. Her screaming's back. Oh, damn.
I thought Cordelia was hilarious in this episode.
She was.
What possessed Buffy to go to the frat party? I don't get it. Was she rebelling? Was she just... She's just sick and tired and I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore? Like, I don't get it.
She's breaking all the rules. I mean, she's even wearing black spandex to the party, if you notice. So she's lying to Giles and wearing black spandex.
Even though she'd been told not to. This is brilliant. Yeah. Cordelia gives her this list of things. Yeah, don't wear black or those are my trademarks. So Buffy shows up wearing black. Cordy wearing, like, blue. Okay. She's fickle, man.
Yeah, let me tell you.
And when you're in high school, nothing is cooler than college people.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Hopefully you grow out of that pretty quickly, because those guys suck.
But they're such losers. Like, what are they, like, 20? 22? And they're coming back to pick up on high school girls? Pathetic.
But I guess high school girls are easy targets for...
Oh, yeah. For their orgies.
For your...
The roofie-induced orgies. Which loosely translates into human sacrifice. Two episodes straight where human sacrifices are mentioned or referred to.
No.
I don't get it. Is this going to be common? Is human sacrifice here to stay? In the Buffyverse?
The show, you know, it does travail around the area of the occult. You're never going to be far from human sacrifice because, frankly, people are scum and they will always find a reason to be scum. And if it's a mystical reason, then all the better for it.
Mm.
Sorry about that. I realize that you all are people and that you're not...
We're not intrinsic, offended. That's okay.
Intrinsically scum. But frankly, I mean humanity. We're scum.
I can see your point.
Thank you.
But I'm just... who's popping popcorn?
I'm so...
Oh, my God.
Derail. We've derailed the podcast. Buffy!
That's fine. This isn't just, you know, podcast recording. We're also... It's a cultural exchange.
It's not a very good one. I don't come from that kind of that much mysterious a country.
No. Quite. But what, like, so, oh, it just frustrates me. Then, so she goes to the frat party knowing full well that no good could come of this, right? And then Xander is going to go to the party stalking her.
In his kind of Ocean's 11 getup.
Yes.
That's his college outfit.
Yeah.
But Xander always wants to try to protect Buffy. Even though Buffy is the Slayer, he still feels like he needs to protect her. Because I guess that's what guys do.
What guys do, yeah. But sometimes his presence is needed. Sometimes. Well.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Hey, Giles. Oh, Xander. What?
No, Xander. Xander, like he, you know, saying that he wants to go and protect her, and you're like, well, Buffy's more than capable of protecting herself, but the one time when she couldn't, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true. Yeah.
True.
That's probably
one out of every 2,000 times it will be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sansa's an interesting guy.
Cordelia really needs to work on her active listening, I wrote down.
Sorry.
She was trying so hard to listen, she didn't hear what he said.
Yes. She just falls back into, like, I felt like we were making progress with Cordelia. And for the last couple episodes, she's just regressed again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I think it depends on what the... You don't know sort of whether they've shuffled story order about when writing it.
Do
you know what I mean? It's not like they'd have been made in a different order, but people won't be fully on board with, chosen changes in character. I know what I'm trying to say. I just am running out of the words, especially since, crikey, it's like 1:15 here.
Mm.
Oh yeah, that's not a complaint. I'm full of Pepsi Max and still raring to go.
I enjoy Pepsi Max.
It's all right. I do like Cordelia's vanity plate.
Queen C.
She bought it off Quincy Jones after he did a tour of Mexico. Queen C.
Oh, is this the first time we've actually seen a palm tree in Buffy? Because it was the scene in front of the high school steps. When Richard Dullwasp was standing there talking to them, and I see these palm trees in the background, I'm like, hey, palm trees. Oh, yeah, they're in California. So I guess I never noticed at how much the filming was done maybe just on sets rather than outside. And maybe these outdoor shots are really just kind of rare.
Yeah, but that school is definitely in California because it's in Torrance. It's the one from Beverly Hills 90210, as I recall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it can be really distracting when you see it show up in other films.
Yeah, like, was Scream filmed there?
Oh, there's a... No, with this...
She's all there's
some movie.
Film there.
Woodsboro High School, I believe it's called, and the out the front is somewhat different. I recall. I could be wrong. I'm choking on Pepsi Max fumes. Continue.
What do we think of Reptile Boy?
Episode or
no character, effects, persona.
See, I really like him. The way he was particularly floaty.
Mm-hmm.
And they made the camera go all floaty when he couldn't be floaty as well. And he's got a good mouth. He opens up wide.
Yeah,
the mouth is terrifying.
Although his name does sound like a cordless drill. it's technically Makita, but the accents they use, Makita with T or A, same sound. So
those are very good drills, by the way.
Yes.
High quality.
Mm-hmm.
Female ones, La Femme Makita.
Yes. And if you want the cheap knockoff, it's the point of no return drill. That's enough for that, I suppose. Gabby, did you like Makita?
By the time we got to Makita, I just didn't care anymore.
Yeah.
I hated this episode so much. It was really painful.
Really? Like the whole thing? You hated the whole thing?
I really did. Uh-huh. But I was really busy counting bras, so I
so at least you could entertain yourself.
Incidentally, we missed Cordelia, black bra, red spaghetti dress, tank top.
Yeah, I know. I've got myself a little bra watch list. I got the dark bra under white top. Cordy with the black bra and the red tank top. Buffy on the same day afterwards with the white top but with the sort of smooth bra underneath it, and then in the final shot, and Xander. And then in the final shot where Buffy walks away and she's got this sort of sheer, sort of light brown thing on with another black bra underneath in the bronze.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So basically, tit central.
Pretty much.
I'm a horrible, horrible sexist. Continue.
That's fine.
As a matter of fact, my note is Reptile Boy is cringeworthy. Mm-hmm. That's so. Anyway, mm-hmm. Big mail this week goes to me.
What did we feel when Xander was basically found out and then on his way down the humiliation train?
Good.
Uh-huh. It felt really cliche, mm-hmm. like the whole episode.
It was like, yeah.
High school girl goes to frat party and has one drink and gets completely wasted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how do they get Xander's shirt off and it's not like, dude, you're ripped. You look awesome.
You know what? We're not going to humiliate you.
It's like immediately, put on this bra and this wig and dance around.
And the skirt. Don't forget the skirt.
Yeah, I don't know why he just wouldn't leave, but...
So, twice in this episode, Xander looks around. Buffy has her back turned to him. He doesn't notice her. He gets distracted by food. Understandable. And then later on, like, when Buffy's having her weird kind of queasy roofie-induced blurred vision, she sees Xander... But she sees his back when he's basically being forced to dance and being paddled. And I'm wondering, yes. if there's any significance to this.
The paddling of the swollen ass. Yeah.
Well, Xander's been distracted by candy in the past.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I'm perfectly happy to watch Xander be humiliated because as a viewer, I have a complex relationship with Xander, but it's based on obviously 7 years of watching the program.
Ah.
But no, not 7 years in real time, but 7 seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is all. Dun dun dun.
Any more points before we rate?
I'm trying to think what else happened.
I think there was we were speaking of irony earlier. At one point, Xander says, "Okay, boots, start a walk in." And in this episode, Buffy was not wearing boots at all at any point during this episode.
There's a point I will have to make for the ongoing listeners, which you may have picked up on in the episode. You may know what I mean, but if you don't, it doesn't matter. But I will say that Jonathan gets a name.
Yes.
Maybe. Thank you.
Huh? Jonathan gets a name?
That's exactly what I said.
As I recall, there was a guy that was in a different episode that we see him again in this episode, and they refer to him by his name.
The guy that got Cordy's order.
Oh, the guy who got the cappuccino or the coffee drink?
Yep, that would be Jonathan.
He forgot the extra phone.
The guy from Mad Men.
Idiot.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you got a name.
Well, I don't know why we're talking about this. He's clearly insignificant. Let's move on.
Severe foreshadowing.
So, who is this Sophia foreshadowing you speak of? She sounds sexy.
But, there are two times where when Angel was on. Again, Angel hasn't showed up for a couple episodes, right? And, I just feel it's so strange when he has such a passionate reaction when Buffy's in danger. Like, when he turned into the vampire, and mm-hmm. he's like, "And Buffy," right? And so,
that is the dude you want to party with.
And it was just, it was so, I don't know, it just felt forced, and when I saw that, I burst out laughing. I just find their relationship. It's too early for them to be so into each other because nothing has happened.
With my tedious "this is how television works" hat on, I suspect he's really only in the episode to remind you that he's there. Because
mm-hmm.
they could have done the whole episode without him.
Yes, but yeah. He's although, like, he's
contractually obligated.
Oh, it's not that. It's just to keep the character fresh in the audience's mind. And there is the tiny bit of Buffy going, "All right, maybe I will have a coffee with you, but I'm going to be all coquettish about it because, you know, I'm being all shite and teenage."
And nonchalant.
Nonchalant. Mm-hmm. Non-shite-lant, more like. I'm swearing a lot. Sorry.
It's all good.
But it's special transatlantic swearing that you're allowed to say.
Bloody.
Like bollocks. And
oh, bollocks.
I don't know. For me, after two Monster of the Week episodes, I'm over it. I'm done. I'm ready for some vampire action. I want my spike back.
Well, let me tell you. I was just looking at that. Mm-hmm. The next, for the next several episodes, they are very good. It's not very Monster of the Week at all. You get some different stories coming up. And then there's a two-parter, which is really good. But then, towards the middle, you get a couple of more really bad episodes. But then, until the really awesome very middle of the season, and then it kicks off. So,
I agree.
Yeah. Are we ready to rate them?
I'd say so.
I'd probably say on par with last week, 4 out of 10. I like, just like Gabby, I was like, this was torturous to get through because everything was really cliched, like I said earlier, and like hit over the head that alcohol is bad and lying is bad and all these things are bad because if you do anything bad, then, yes, your life will be hell torturous. But, 4 out of 10.
I would give it 7.5 douchey frat boys.
Some dull wasps.
On the dull wasp scale. We have the bronze. I get a point for that. If it wasn't for that, it would be extremely low. I'm going to be nice and give this a 2.
Wow.
I really, really did not like this episode at all.
I am going to say that I'm going to give it a 3 moltings out of 10.
Yay.
I did not appreciate many things in this episode. I especially felt that having Buffy again issue her I want to be normal after we just saw that last time was enough of a hit over the head, and then they give me Reptile Boy.
Yeah, exactly.
And I did not appreciate Reptile Boy. They also gave me shoddy workmanship, but who installs hooks in that kind of stone ceiling dungeon without proper anchors? I just don't get it. But that's
couple of roll plugs could have saved them all that ass.
Damn right.
I wanted to see Buffy do like some swinging from the chains, but that never happened.
Well,
I thought she was going
to
do some.
I
really
thought
cool
it was a perfect chance for her to do her dance move, but didn't work out. Chris, what would you rate the episode?
I would rate the episode using the single most basic keyboard chord ever. It's a C major triad in the root position. Purely because it's the most average Buffy ever gets. It's all right. It's not terrible. Mm-hmm. But in future, every episode will either be slightly worse than or better than it. You won't get another episode that is the same rating. So that is the only episode that would get a C major triad in the root position.
Excuse me, but I don't remember any Asian gangs in this episode, though.
Oh, my word.
Are you sure that's the proper scale? All right.
A triad is as you well know, a chord with 3 notes. A chord with 2 notes is a dyad. So a C major dyad would just be C and E like this.
Oh, there you are. Good, thank you.
But that would have to be for an episode that was still quite dull, but slightly not as good as Reptile Boy. It would lose that key. I've thought this all through, you know.
I know.
Okay. I already know what the chords for the most heartbreaking Buffy ever gets would be as well. Oh, so there.
Quotes.
I do not have a musical ear, but I understand completely what you're saying, Chris.
Oh, Steph, if you heard the chords, you'd know them.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Cool. Quotes.
Why did they park so darn close to you?
Close to you.
Oh, no.
I like it. I think it's good.
And you? You're going to live forever. You don't have time for a cup of coffee?
Okay. Now I don't feel better, and Buffy's in trouble. As I recall, is a follow-up.
Think of all the poor people I could help with all that money.
Her lover? I thought he was a chiropractor.
Will you be ready if a vampire's behind you?
Giles, we didn't speak about him.
I get another one. When you live on the top of a mystical convergence, it's only a matter of time before a fresh hell breaks loose. That's for you, Chris. Mystical convergence.
You guys. I hate you guys. The weirdest things always happen when you're around.
And in a similar vein, I've never been so happy to see anyone in my hole. I'm afraid she doesn't finish the thought. She just says the word hole and then gives Angel a big hug. So, once again, that's I've never been so happy to see anyone in my hole.
So, the only reason Cordelia does that to Angel is just to get under Buffy's skin.
Yeah.
I think she's taking advantage of the fact that there's a guy she thinks is hunky there and that it's appropriate for her to hug him. I think Buffy is the least of her concerns when she hugs Angel.
Oh, okay.
That's my take on it, but maybe.
She doesn't need to hug him and sort of go, it's a bit chilly.
What does that tell you, though, when Cordelia's the best part of an episode?
Oh!
Yeah. Hey, is it the first time we've actually seen waitstaff at the Bronze? And they're wearing these awful t-shirts.
Isn't the Bronze meant to be this terrible, skanky, rubbish club, though? Because it looks amazing. And they've got the nice sort of sofas, and later on, they've got like this little patisserie stand and stuff like that. You can get a cake.
Please, no spoilers.
Oh, sorry. But, you know,
and as a French Canadian, I think patisserie is quite spoiler worthy, so please.
Okay. You know, but it's not exactly club scum.
No.
No, it's not. I just hope the next two episodes are better than the last two that we just had to...
Oh, it is.
Steph, can I trouble you for the title of the next episode?
Halloween.
I see.
Is that a coincidence that it just happened that we do the Halloween episode on Halloween?
Absolutely, yes. Coincidental.
How great is that?
The fates have spoken, and we kick ass when it comes to pagan holidays. About
potential ass.
I'm excited.
If you have something to tell us, if you'd like to confide in us, you're not sure where to turn and you want to... No, actually, we don't do that kind of thing. That's maybe another podcast.
That's the Samaritans.
Yes. Which we don't have over here. But I do get the reference. Please contact us. Send us your thoughts. Call us. I'm here every evening waiting by the phone, and it doesn't ring very often. It's 270-40-Buffy. That's actually not a direct line to my Batcave. It's an automated voicemail system. It's Google Voice. Call us on our Google Voice, and we can see if the automatic transcription matches up with what you're saying. And while we're listening to your voicemail, we'll get distracted. So you can send us an email to our email address.
Which is?
TinterCast@gmail.com.
Yes.
What?
That said it.
I believe they said potentialcast@gmail.com.
Awesome. You could also go to our webpage, our blogspot page. You can get there at potentialcast.blogspot.com. Or if you're in a rush, potentialcast.com will get you there as well. You can see our show notes. There are a couple links that'll help you subscribe to our feed. feel free to subscribe. Don't just download, subscribe. We like having subscribers. We enjoy seeing how many subscribers we have. And for the four of you that are still listening, we thank you very, very, very much.
Yes.
And don't be put off by the fact that for basically all of this season, there will be more of us than there will be of you. You comment on our show. There's a spot for commenting, and you can, you know, tell us what you think, and you can add things. And I don't usually say this, but I will say this right now. Please remember, spoilers are something that Gabby, Kim, and myself would really like to avoid.
Yes.
And if you are not careful enough about spoilers, our brains are going to be kind of going into overdrive about certain things. So please be kind to us and remember not to spoil us on those comments. Say, or
err on the side of caution.
If you'd like to comment about something that could be spoilerish, just go ahead, use that subject line and put in spoilers for Steph size only. And, you know, I will hopefully by
I
the second
Chris
paragraph.
I think Chris gave away a couple of things in this episode, but I didn't pounce on them, so I let them go.
Yeah, so I apologize for that. But, again, it's more seeing how these things unfold, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true, I do suck. I think, actually, it's a combination of things I said in the previous two episodes.
Yes. I'd have to agree with that statement.
In that case, my other point of revelation, Jonathan! Hey! Woo!
Yeah.
Now, was he modest Yahoo?
No, okay. No, he wasn't. Can I make a comment as a listener, by the way?
Yeah.
Hilario,
yeah.
Love Bites by Def Leppard the other week.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I haven't heard that in years.
You're welcome. I was ridiculed, I believe, by one of our listeners.
I paid him
no attention. And frankly, people from New Jersey, pshaw. I'll probably edit that out, considering that Sopranos was set in New Jersey.
Well, I was talking to the guys that do Slayerage, the Slayerage podcast, and they really enjoyed the Def Leppard song at the end.
Love Bites was a perfect fit, I felt.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all he wants is love, and it bit him in the end. With
the
fire.
End of what?
It was the Frankenstein episode.
Yes.
Oh, God.
I was being disgusting.
Can we say a bye and a thanks for joining us? And thanks, Chris.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us.
It's lovely speaking to all of you. It's very odd. It's like listening to the podcast, except I can talk and you reply. Normally only happens after 5 tequila slammers and some LSD. So thanks.
Awesome. So glad to be of service.
Save me some money. It's normally about 2 a.m. when that happens anyway. So
all is right in the world. Thanks for being on with us, Chris, and thanks especially for tolerating being up so late. We know it never happens to you usually.
Oh, you are the most welcome. Well, I've recorded later than this for people. Cool. All right.
So what's our homework?
Next week is Halloween. The week of Halloween. Good.
I've got a DVD box set of Burn Notice, so I haven't watched much of, but the font it's written in makes it look like the title is Bum Notice.
I hate it when they don't have the kerning properly. It really bothers me. It really, really bothers me.
No, Bum Notice is a much better title.
And considering that Bruce Campbell is in it, it might as well be.
Well, also, it makes the tagline that spies don't get fired, they get bummed.
Wouldn't that require two M's?
Well, okay, it's bummed. But...
Thank you. That's exactly what I would have read.
You've ruined it. You've ruined it all, Illyria.
I aim to please.